chapter 6 this morning. What a wonderful, mighty God we serve, everybody. You know, I know so many people are going through hard times, man. And I know I sound like a broken record every time I say that. But look, man, look around to your church family. There's a lot of people that are hurting. You know, a lot of people are going through a lot of different stuff, man. Pray for your church family. And I do want to say this to each and every one of you guys, man, that God is big enough. God is big enough for whatever you're going through. And God cares about what you're going through. You are precious in His sight. Amen. You know, God never promises that the Christian life is going to be the easy way. He makes it very clear that this is a hard road. You know, but this is the road that leads to eternal life. And God is with us every step of the way. We have some wonderful, wonderful, wonderful promises to hang on to through these hard times. And God is so faithful to us. And I wish I could, you know, snap my fingers and everybody's life just be perfect. I don't have that power. I don't have that ability. But what I can do is we can share together in some wonderful promises that God has given us. We have this word of God. And God is so faithful. He is more than able to take care of what you're going through. So get your eyes off of yourself. And yeah, I'm talking to myself as well. You know, get your eyes off of yourself and how miserable or how hard everything is right now. And focus on God and His goodness and His wonderful promises. Listen, God is good. And He says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. You know what I mean? He's with you. You got to go through this river. Well, you didn't plan on having to go through this river, but here you are. You got to cross the river. Well, God is with you. Amen. And he's gonna be right there with you every step of the way. He does promise to get you through to the other side. So let's lean on Him. Don't worry about what your grandma said or your uncle said or the cool kids at school saying that Christianity is a crutch. It's way more than a crutch, man. And let them say it. It doesn't matter. We lean on the Most High God. We lean on Him. Amen. God is good. Tell the truth. Shame the devil. Amen. Give Him some praise. What I'm trying to say is, we have these burdens, man, and life's unfair and life's hard and all this stuff happens. Bad things happen to good people. Good things happen to bad people. So on and so forth. But we are blessed, man, because we belong to the Most High God. And we can leave here encouraged and refreshed and excited. We can do that, man, if we turn our eyes on the Lord. I'm talking about magnifying the Lord together. Amen? I'm talking about seeing God for who He is. And when we see God for who He is, man, He is so much larger than everything you're going through right now. Go ahead and give Him some praise. I'm not saying that your pain's not real, and I'm not trying to downplay anything that anybody's going through. And I'm dealing with stuff too. It's not like I'm perfect or anything like that. All I'm trying to say, man, is God, Jesus Christ, is the answer to whatever you're going through. When we search and we're like, man, my life would be perfect if I could just have this, or and this and this, and you know, we'll even make a little checklist. You know, okay, my life's going to be just about perfect if I can, you know, knock these out. This one's getting kind of close, you know, or we get sad and discouraged and distraught because we're not getting anywhere on our little mental list, or maybe you write it down or whatever. I'm not saying don't have goals. I'm saying that Jesus Christ is all you need. Amen. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you as well. So sometimes we get our priorities mixed up, man. You know, and that's only natural because that's what our flesh wants. Our flesh wants this, this, and this, so we can have that perfect life. Well, newsflash, here you go, as if you didn't already know this already. Once you get this, this, and this, that list is already going to be filled up with other stuff that you got to get. And you're always going to have this sense of emptiness and hollowness until you let Jesus Christ take His rightful place in your life. Amen. So that's what we all got to be about. I'm not talking to a bunch of perfect people. I'm not saying that I'm perfect. I'm not saying any of that at all. I'm just saying that we can get through this mess and we can be encouraged and we can grow in relationship with the Lord and we can encourage our brothers and sisters in Christ. We can be a light to a lost and dying world if we would just sell out and give it all to Jesus and stop putting in categories. Well, you know, God's going to be cool with me doing this. God's going to be cool with me bending His laws. God's cool with me if I'm just going to do this because God understands. God doesn't understand that. Well, let me say it like this. God does understand. He completely understands. He's like, you want to be rebellious, you know? And, man, I'm in the same boat as anybody else, man. I have to daily, you know, pick up that cross and say, you know, I'm going to do what you want me to do, Lord. And sometimes hour by hour, minute by minute. No, I'm not going to give in to that. I'm not going to be the selfish, stupid, idiot person. I'm going to follow God. You know what I mean? That's what we're here for. We are here to give him glory. So we have all these things in our life, man, that are not productive. And so when God shows you in his word, or you probably already know, like, well, this isn't pleasing to God. You know, then we need to work on that. Amen. I'm already preaching and I even got started. 2 Kings 6. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father God. We love you. We praise you, Lord. Thank you for your anointing in this house, Lord. Thank you that your will is going to be done. Father God, thank you that we want to be God pleasers and not man pleasers, Lord. Thank you that we will understand that everything we need is in you, Lord. And then you are the answer to every single problem that we have, Lord. Your will be done in this service. Thank you for your anointing presence. And let us leave here different folks, Lord. In Jesus' wonderful, precious name we pray. Amen. Okay, 2 Kings 6 and verse 24. Afterward, Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, mustered his entire army. This is King Ben-Hadad. Now, what King Ben-Hadad did is he went to his entire army while they were sleeping, and he sprayed mustard all over them. Okay, that's pretty much the stupidest joke I've ever said in my life, but I couldn't not resist that. Yeah. Go back to the office. They're divvying it up, right? Okay. Okay. Yeah, that was pretty dumb, but anyways, God is good. Okay. Afterward, Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, mustered his entire army, got his army together. I am real sorry for that joke. Afterward, Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, mustered his entire army and went up and besieged Samaria. So Samaria is in Israel. The Syrians are invading Israel. Now, see, here's the deal, man. Israel's fallen into a lot of sin. Israel has decided that they want God's blessings, but they don't want to serve God. They want to do their own thing. Sound familiar? Sound like you sometimes? Man, I know it sounds like me, man. You know, I want God's blessings and I want God's favor on my life. You know, but sometimes, like the Apostle Paul, I want to do things I shouldn't do. And you know what I'm talking about. Okay, so Israel's in a bad place. So here comes Syria. And up until this point, Syria has done like some border mess and harassed the people. And they've had an uneasy peace. But here comes Syria, man, into Samaria, into Israel. And they're besieging the whole area. Okay, so imagine this evil, wicked army surrounding Israel and kind of strangling them. So they're stuck. They can't get, and there's this huge famine going on. Okay, they're running out of food. It's just a really bad time for these folks. Amen? Y'all with me so far? And there was a great famine in Samaria as they besieged it until a here we go. Until a donkey's head was sold for 80 shekels of silver. Now, I don't know how much 80 shekels of silver is in modern day terms or whatever, but it seems like that's a pretty high price to pay for a donkey's head. I don't know. And there's not a, I don't know the last time you had donkey's head for dinner, but there ain't a lot of meat upon them, on the actual donkey's head. But see, this is how bad the situation was right here. Okay, paying outlandish prices for a donkey head, but that's not where it ends. Until a donkey's head was sold for 80 shekels of silver, and the fourth part of a cab, don't know what that is, of dove's dung, for 5 shekels of silver. Who goes to the market? Who goes to the grocery store in the first place, saying how much for the donkey's head or the? Well, I got two things going. What are you in the market for? I got some. Got a little bit of dove's dung over here, and I got a donkey's head. That's how bad this situation was, man. And we all know that we would do anything we'd have to do to feed our family. You know, these people are in a desperate situation. Okay, now just let me bring this point out. That, you know, sin can be joyous for a season. And, man, that's a truthful statement. Sin is joyful for a season, and we can have a good old time, and we get trapped, man. You know, so here's Israel not being faithful to God, doing their own thing, not wanting to listen to the prophets. And so guess what happens when we go against God and what God tells us to do, man? It can get a little tough. Now, if you're going through a hard time this morning, I'm not saying you're going through a hard time because you've decided to reject what the Bible says. I'm not saying that at all. Okay? We go through hard times all the time just because we live in this world. You know what I mean? The effects of sin randomly visit us all the time, like raindrops. You know what I mean? The guy driving drunk, hits my car, hits me, hurts my loved one. You know, these sort of things. I'm not saying that's your fault. I wouldn't dare to stand up here and say that's your fault, okay? What I'm saying, man, is bad things happen all the time. But also, man, when we decide that I want to go around God's laws, when I decide I want to do what I want to do, God warns us, man, we're going to reap what we sow. And he says, choose life. Don't do it. He pleads with us. Don't do it. You know what I mean? And it's not like he's waiting with lightning bolts ready for you to mess up, saying, oh, go ahead and do it. Take the cookie, brother. It's not like that, man. He warns us. The consequences are bound up in those actions. Don't do it, or this is going to happen. If we choose to sin, if you look at it like this, it kind of stings. But if we choose to sin, we choose to hurt ourselves. If we choose to sin, we choose to suffer. We choose to hurt those around us. And that's how it is, right? Okay, I'm not talking to perfect people. I'm not saying we're going to leave here perfect. I'm not perfect. I'm just saying that as Christians, we have so much to be thankful for. I really wanted to do a happy, fun, thank you, Jesus, Thanksgiving thing today. But man, I really have to be obedient to the Lord. So any old hoot and holler, man, I lost my train of thought. Anybody have anything to say? Let me just keep going. Amen. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Until a donkey's head was sold for 80 shekels of silver and the fourth part of a cab of dove's dung for 5 shekels of silver. Okay, so Israel's in a bad place, man. And we might find ourselves in a bad place this morning because we've decided that we want to do what we want to do, you know. And God's pleading with us, man. Hey, you know, you don't have to live like this. And see, when we give in to sin, even as Christians, when we decide to test the waters and go out there, man, we can slip, man. And, you know, we tiptoe into the shallow end, and before you know it, we're in the deep end, and we're over our head. You know what I mean? So here's the deal. Life can get pretty stinking hard sometimes, just like the prodigal son, who found himself sitting in the mud, the muck in the mire, you know, looking at what the pigs were leaving and saying, man, I wouldn't mind having a little bit of that. Now, think about what pigs, Josh and Dina, they have a pig, and which a lot of people have been around pigs, but I've seen that pig, and they don't leave a lot, man. You can throw almost anything in there, and they won't leave a lot lying around, man. This kid, this prodigal son, was wanting what the pigs were going to leave. He was like, man, that looks really, really good. Okay, the kid was in a bad place. Okay, that's where sin's going to take us. Okay, the exact opposite place of where we thought we were going to end up, man. Because something's shiny and bright and we follow it, and we're like, man, God's going to understand. And God's not cool with our sin, and I'm talking to myself. I promise you, I'm talking to all of us. But I just have to be obedient to the Lord. Anywho, okay, so we have this emptiness, man. To the unbeliever, we have this emptiness and we try and fill it with everything, man. Only God can satisfy. Amen. To the Christian, man, I think that the Christian that decides that I want to go off into the wrong direction, I think that we can be twice as miserable as somebody that says, I don't want anything to do with Jesus. Let me try and explain that. Well, I think that a Christian is one of the most miserable people in the world when they are when they want to go off and live like the world does. I think that you get no peace. You don't feel like you fit in with God's people. You feel like you're a hypocrite. You don't feel like you fit in with the old buddies. You're just you're in a bad place, man. Okay. Whether you've never accepted Jesus Christ or you're convicted because we've kind of went the other way and we're kind of bit off more than we can chew, God says, come back this morning. Come back. Amen? Okay. Okay, anyways, let's look at Romans 6:23. This is what the unbeliever has waiting for him. And let this be something to energize us, and I mean that, energize us that we can be a witness to those people that have not accepted Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, the little theme of the message when I was working on it is I want us to be so thankful for what God has done for us that we cannot help but spread the gospel to other people. That we won't hide it. That we won't hide it under a bushel. That we can't help it. That we're just so overwhelmed with thankfulness. And see, we need to get back to that place where we're thankful. You know, because, you know, a lot of us, most of us, all of us, I don't know, we've been Christians for so long. that it kind of, you know, we've lost the joy of our salvation and we don't think about it as this wonderful thing that has honestly been done for us. Because here we've accepted Jesus Christ and these painful things happen to us, man. These bad things happen to us and we hold these hurts in from where people have done us wrong. And God says, just let it all go. Let it all go. Grant forgiveness, man. Just clean the slate. Give it all away and trust in me. And everybody, a lot of people have been through some really nasty, nasty things, and people have done such selfish, evil things to one another. And I'm not saying it don't hurt. I know it hurts. But see, God doesn't want that to ruin our lives. Satan wants it to ruin your life. Okay? God doesn't want it to ruin your life. And God says that in the end, everything's going to work out. And I know that can be like a slap in the face. What are you talking about? Everything's going to work out. Do you know what was stolen from me? Do you know what was taken from me? No, I don't. And I'm just saying that God knows, man. God knows. And he's going to right every wrong. And it's going to be so worth it. I'm not trying to offend anybody. I know that some devastating things have happened to people. But God will repay. When a thief is caught, he's got to repay back seven times over. Amen? Okay. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's all we have to say this morning, and we should be overflowing with thankfulness. You know, easier said than done, right? Yeah, Paul, that's nice for you to get up here and say you're working about 35 minutes a week. No. No, looky here, man. Look, I know life can be bitter, man, and there's a lot of this painful stuff, but let's get back to that place. Let this be our foundation, man, that God is so good to me. God is so wonderful to me. I don't understand why certain things have happened to me, but I can understand this. God is good to me. Amen. What I'm talking about, man, look, but the free gift of God, you didn't earn it. You can't earn it. You don't have enough money. No one has enough money. You're not cool enough. You're not hip enough. There's only one way to the Father. There's only one way to eternal life, and that is through Jesus Christ. So our payment for not accepting him is eternal damnation. And that's just how it is, okay? You see, here's the deal, man. Jesus Christ laid down his life. Jesus Christ laid down his life. You want to know about suffering, and I know so many people have been through unspeakable things in here. But listen, God the Father saw his son brutally murdered for us, for us. Our sins were placed on his back. Talk about unfair. Jesus Christ, the sinless, spotless lamb, paid for your sins and my sins. Paid for them, the sins of all humanity. The sinless one, the spotless lamb, had the sins of all creation and placed on his back. Think about that. For us. So we got to get back to that, man, where we can actually cultivate some thankfulness. Even though our life's not perfect, even though things aren't exactly how you want them to do, and you're like, well, at this age, I should have this, this, and this. Man, maybe, maybe not, man. But we're here to please God. We're going to put God first, and God will fill in the blanks. And he will, man. I'm not trying to give you a pep talk. I'm so serious, man. God will make a way where there is no way. But he wants relationship with his people. Amen? Okay. Anyways, I better move forward. I know I'm talking a long time. Okay, so anyways, the Syrians are invading Israel. They're in this huge famine. They're selling dove poo-poo and stuff like that to eat. It's in the Bible. I ain't making it up. Okay. Anyways, let's jump down to verse 31, 2 Kings 6:31. Now, when life's not going the way we want it to go, and that's a lot of the time, you know, let's be honest, we got these plans, and it doesn't always work out the way we think it's going to work out. We can get in this place where we get mad at God, okay? God's a big God. He gets it. He understands it. But listen to me, man. Let's not, when we realize, hey, you know, the rain falls on the just and the unjust alike. We live in a world, okay, where we have free will. And God gave us free will. And life and death is set before us. And God says, hey, choose life, man. Choose life, okay? He didn't want a bunch of robots, man. He wanted people that were going to love him because they love him. And he's given us countless reasons to love him. You know what I mean? And sometimes when really bad, painful things happen, we can doubt God exists. Yeah. We can blame God. Yeah. We can use these as excuses to not serve God or believe in God. Okay. And we must not do that. Okay. We need to understand that God's a good God. Amen. we don't always understand the things he allows, you know. Anyways, so the king, this king, he's blaming God's prophet. He's basically blaming God for this famine, for this situation. Well, you know why they're in this situation is because they decided to do their own thing. They decided that they wanted God's blessings, God's protection, but they didn't want to serve God. They wanted to serve a bunch of different idols. They were in spiritual adultery to the one true God. And God was warning them, hey, man, hey, just like I said, we're going to reap what we sow. And so God was pleading with them, man, you don't want to do this. It's not going to work out right for you. Okay, so anyways, the king, this is what he says about God's prophet Elisha. And he said, may God do so to me and more. Also, if the head of Elisha, the son of Shaphat, remains on his shoulders today. He's like, I'm going to kill Elisha, man. I'm tired of this mess, man. I can't do nothing to God, but I'm going to go after God's people. You know, and we can get like that, man. I'm so frustrated, man. God, why are you picking on me? God, why are you allowing me to suffer when these guys that sit two chairs down from me at church got it all? How, I don't understand. I don't get it. Well, you know what? You don't have to understand it. You don't have to get it. Just love Jesus, man, and trust in Jesus. Amen? And I guarantee you, they're going through something as well. Amen? Okay, so anyways, let's go ahead and go to the next slide. And we do have that tendency, don't we? We can blame God. It's okay if we don't understand something. But listen, let's not blame God, okay? And I've done it. I've done it a lot. I've done it a bunch. But thank God, we all got to get to this place. We really need to get to this place where we're like, God, I don't understand why I'm going through this. But I know you do. And I know in my heart, I know that you're a good God. I know that you are fair and you are just. Okay. Let's not turn against God. And this is what the unbeliever or the pagan will use as an excuse not to serve God. They do it all the time. I hear it all the time. I'm not going to serve a God. First of all, he doesn't exist, but I wouldn't serve a God that gives babies cancers and stuff like that. Man, this world, bad things happen all the time, man. The effects of sin randomly affect God's creation, man. Like raindrops. We live in a world where bad things happen, man, because sin entered the world, okay? And when sin entered the world, death was right there on its coattails, right at the same time. When Adam and Eve decided we're going to do it our way, yes, we got all these blessings we could do. Anything in the world, man, we could do anything. Eve, Adam, but there's this one thing we can't do, just one. And they got a little closer each and every day. And we know how that is, man. Well, Satan knows what tempts us, man. And what tempts me might not bother you at all, man. You might be way ahead of me in that area, you know. But see, there was that one thing, man, and they just had to do it. Probably thought about it a little bit more each and every day. Probably started camping a little bit closer to it, and it's so shiny and glimmering. Anyways, that's a whole nother sermon. Matthew 23 and 37, that's what I want to read. Look at your monitor. This is Jesus Christ talking about his people, talking about Israel who had strayed. And they when a prophet would come and talk about the Messiah, eventually they would end up killing that prophet, okay? They didn't want to hear the good news, okay? Let me read this. Matthew 23 and verse 37. This is Jesus' thoughts toward his creation, towards God's creation. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and saints and stones those who are sent to it. How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. God's saying to humanity, he's saying that same thing to humanity. I want to be with you through these hard times where painful things happen to you, where you're going to go through these hard times. God said, I want to be there with you. I want to walk with you through this fire, through this trial. Okay, I want to get you through to the other side, but you're just adamant that you're going to go it alone, you know? He's like, I want to be there with you because this world is hard. Whether you're a Christian or not, man, this world is hard and this world is brutal, but we got a blessing, man. Because number one, in the end, it's going to get really, really good for us, okay? And for the unbeliever, this is as good as they're ever going to have it. And that's sad. Even the richest unbeliever in the world that's got everything at his disposal and fingertips, that's as good as he will ever have it. And that stuff is temporal. And one day his heart's just going to stop beating just like anybody else's. And then it's eternity, okay? But for the believer, this is as bad as it's ever going to get for us. And I know sometimes, man, it looks pretty bad. And there's so much pain in this world. But God says, let me hold your hand through this. Let me encourage you. Keep your eyes on me. Let's grow in relationship with me. Amen. Y'all with me so far? All right. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Let me read a couple verses. Because sometimes it's hard for us to be thankful, man. You know, got all this stuff going on. And this time of year, we're always talking about being thankful. Let's just look real fast at these verses. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18. Give thanks in all circumstances. Is that even possible? It's possible because it's in the Bible. Probably a lot of people, including me, do not thank God in every single situation. But there's a blessing in that. And it's not saying, hey, be happy because you just got some horrible news from the doctor. It's not saying that. But what he's saying is, you know what? Bottom line, it's going to be okay, man. It's going to be okay. God is with you. God has a plan. God has a good, good plan for his people. Amen. So we can give thanks in all circumstances. God has allowed you to be in this situation. So it is for your spiritual growth. It is for God's glory. How we're going to handle that, man, how much glory are we going to give God? You know what I mean? We got this hopeless situation. Well, I'm a Christian, man, and I belong to Jesus, and I'm standing on his word, so there is no hopeless situation for me. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Man, that is a crazy, crazy verse, man. Give thanks to God in every situation. Everything, I just got fired. I'm supposed to give God thanks? Not because you got fired, but he's good. He's good. He's got a plan. You know what I mean? And you might want to say, thank you, Jesus, I got fired. Yeah. No, no. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God. Man, isn't that weird? God says, my will for your life is for you to be thankful no matter what you go through. You know, that'll keep you from going crazy. That's true. That'll keep you from going crazy if you can focus on God. Say, God, I don't know what you're doing, but I thank you. You are good. You are worthy. I know you got a plan. I am going to cultivate some thankfulness about this situation because I know you're good. Amen. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Psalm 106, verse 1. A couple good reasons and one of my favorite verses of all times. Praise the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord. I don't feel like it. Okay, well, praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. You don't know what I've been going through. God does. Praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. You know, James says every single good thing you have is from God. Every real good thing, every pure thing, every good thing, every blessing in your life, man, that is from God the Father. That is from God. He has decided to bless you. For he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. I really like that, Sister Donna. I really, really like that. In a world where ain't nothing really steadfast anymore. You know what I mean? We can count on this, that God is going to be faithful to you. That God will never leave you or forsake you. Even when we, as Christians, as people that have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we've accepted that gift and we decide to stray away and be rebellious. You know what I mean? I'm talking about people that do belong to Jesus. He says, hey, you're going to reap what you sow here. You're going to have some bad consequences. And he warns us in the Word, like any loving parent would do. You know what I mean? Hey, don't do that. That's a pretty dumb move there. But you know, he still loves us. He still loves us. You know what I mean? And he's not going to leave us. Sometimes we work ourselves into a bad situation, like the prodigal son. But you know what? The prodigal son's father was waiting for him to return every single day. He was looking for him from afar off. Man, that's how God is with his people. He doesn't wish for us to stray, but when he does, he's right there waiting for us, and he loves us. Hey, man, tell the truth, shame the devil. Oh, my goodness gracious. I don't even know how y'all are dealing with. I got this phone. Rachel Jean got it for me. I'm not taking a picture. I'm trying to figure it out. It's supposed to work by my eyeballs, but... Okay. Y'all be cool. No, I'm playing. Okay. Okay. The king was blaming God. The king was blaming God's people, God's prophet, for the hard times they were going through. Sometimes we can do that. But when we realize we're doing that, let's reevaluate. Let's step back. Let's regroup. Right, Brother Donnie? Okay. 2 Kings 7. Let's go to the next slide. I love you guys. Now, there were four men who were lepers at the entrance to the gate. And they said to one another, "Why are we sitting here until we die?" Okay, so this famine was so bad. Like, what really got underneath the king's skin, and the king was wearing sackcloth and ashes. He was in a bad place because his people were in a bad place. It's not like he wanted to repent, though, you know. But anyways, this lady is like, "Hey, king, help me out." Well, what do you want me to do for you? God, if God ain't going to help you, what do you think I can do? And so she starts telling this story, man. She's like, "Well, me and my bestie, me and my friend, my lady friend here, we both had kids." And this is a true story. This is in the Bible. It's like, we were so hungry that we made this deal. We'll eat my kid today, and then tomorrow we'll eat her kid. Well, we boiled my kid and ate my kid. And then when it was time for her to eat her kid, she went and hit her kid. And that's not fair. That's how crazy things had gotten, okay? Now, listen, that makes no sense to us. It really doesn't, because us as, I'm not saying because 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 years later, however many thousand years later, we have evolved above that. I'm not saying that at all, man. What I'm saying is we would do anything in the world, man. You know, we would not cook our kids or get our kids. We would cut off our, we would do whatever it took to try and keep our kids alive, right? Okay, but the point here is this is how nasty and crazy sin gets, man. You find yourself, you take those baby steps, and you find yourself in these places, man. You're like, "Wow, man, I never thought I would be here. I never thought I'd be in this situation, but here I am." Okay, y'all with me? So when we realize it, like the prodigal son, let's come to our senses and run back to our Lord and Savior. So anyways, times are getting really tough here in Israel. And four lepers are outside of the gate. And lepers, man, they had a death sentence. They were going to die. And they couldn't be close to anybody else except for other lepers. So they would congregate together. Okay, and when they were walking around, they had to say, "Unclean, unclean," and cover their mouth. You know what I mean? They had to warn people, "Hey, I'm a leper, and I'm coming down your road here, so you need to get away from me." Okay, so during this hard time, you know, the lepers are like, "Hey, welcome to my world, dude." You know, they're outside of the gate. Everybody's starving inside the city. That's where we're at. "Now there were four men who were lepers at the entrance to the gate, and they said to one another, Why are we sitting here until we die? If we say, 'Let us enter the city,' the famine is in the city." Like, if we could even get in there, man. They're dying. They're cooking. There's all kinds of crazy stuff going on in there. You know, there's no food for us in there. "If we say, 'Let us enter the city,' the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit here, we're going to die here also. So now come, let us go over to the camp of the Syrians. If they spare our lives, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die." Okay. That's a bad place to be, right? Where you're like, "Well, any, meeny, miny, mo. Going to die for sure. Going to die for sure. Probably going to die, but I'm going to get up and stretch my feet and see what happens." You know what I mean? It's like, hopeless situation. But they're like, "Well, there's this slim chance that the Syrians won't kill us, and maybe they'll throw us a chicken leg or something." You know? It's like, anything's better than what we got going on here. Okay, so that's where we're at. "So they arose at twilight to go to the camp of the Syrians, but when they came to the edge of the camp of the Syrians, behold, there was no one there." What? Syrians been encamped around Samaria, been encamped around Israel, been strangling Israel. There's this huge famine. Everybody's dying in Israel because of this invasion. And here these four lepers decide, "Well, you know what, let's just go around the curve here and see what's going on in the enemy's camp." They get to the enemy's camp and it's empty. I mean, there's food on the table. the kettle's got steam and fire, and there's all these delicious food and all this great stuff and all this wealth and riches that these guys brought with them, but the Syrians are gone, man. So what happens is God does this awesome, amazing miracle to this bunch of Israelites, Samaritans, who didn't even deserve it. You know what I mean? Let's be honest. They were off into idol worship and all kinds of stuff. And so they had more or less, they brought this on themselves. God was like, don't do this, man. Judgment's going to come on you. Right? Y'all with me? So look, God done did a miracle. All God's people say, God done did. Mm-hmm. God done did a miracle for the Israelites. When these four lepers are walking supernaturally, God freaks the Syrian army out to where they hear the horses and chariots and the sounds of war coming over the hill. And they're like, well, that can't be the Israelites because those guys are about to die of starvation. They're like, well, they must have paid for a mercenary army with the Hittites or the Egyptians, which was a common thing, you know, by people's favor, and they'd come and help you out for a price. But it wasn't none of those things. It wasn't the Egyptians coming to help for a price. It wasn't the Hittites. It was four lepers, man, coming to see if maybe there was something they could eat. But God used that. God was merciful to this nation of people that had went astray and supernaturally made it sound like it was probably this. It was probably the armies of heaven, angels marching. But whatever it was, whatever God used, it scared the Syrians so bad that they didn't grab any of their cool stuff. They didn't even get on their horses, most of them. They just ran for the hills. Crazy, right? All right. See, our God, that's what I'm trying to say. Our God does the impossible. And when we didn't deserve his salvation, and we don't. He is holy, 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 and we ain't nothing but messed up, messed up, messed up. You know what I mean? He is holy, holy, holy. But he loves us so much, and he really knows us. He knows about your hurts. He knows about your bad decisions. He knows about where people have hurt you. He knows all this stuff. He says, I love you. I love you with an undying love. You know what I mean? Before we ever acknowledged him, before we ever said, I need a Savior, God made a way for us to be saved. Just as wild as this situation was, where this whole group of folks were going to die, they were going to starve to death or be killed with the spear or sword. You know what I mean? But God did a miracle before they even thought God was going to really do a miracle. You know, so here we are, man. God's done a miracle in our lives. I know your life's not perfect, but guess what? We serve a perfect God who made a way for us to live forever. Amen. Live with him forever. Romans 5:8. But God showed his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Before we ever wanted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, that provision was already laid up for us. Jesus paid for our sins to be forgiven. Okay. Now check it out. So they arose at twilight to go to the camp, for the Lord had made... Okay, I already told you about all that. Let's keep going. Let's go to the next slide. Let's wrap things up. So the Syrian army left, man. There's all this awesome stuff. So if you were four leprous dudes and nobody in Israel was going to talk to you anyways, man, you know, you had to stay away from them and all that stuff, and no one would look at you because you're leprous, you know. And so all of a sudden, it's you and your other leper friends, and there's all this awesome stuff, man. Guess what they did? They started grabbing all this food and eating and taking all kinds of good stuff and hiding it. And then they came to their senses. They're like, ah, this ain't right. This isn't right. Those people over there, they don't like to talk to me, and they're mean to me because I'm leprous and I'm ugly and they don't like how I look. And so they say, Johnny, don't talk to him. Keep moving. They don't like me and all that. Okay, but God has blessed me so much. God has given me all this stuff. I am not going to starve to death. Matter of fact, I am going to live now. I got all this food. Now, right down the way is a bunch of people that ain't cool with me, ain't nice to me. You know what I mean? They think they're better than me because their nose ain't falling off their face. You know what I mean? Right? Right? Huh? Like, They don't even deserve all this good stuff, but it's not right. Okay, so let's look real fast at our life. Man, we have been saved. We have been saved by the blood of the Lamb. We have been saved by Jesus Christ. And we have the life-giving power in us through the Holy Spirit to spread the love of Jesus to a lost and dying world, that the lost and dying world might not like you, might not treat you the way you think you want to be treated because you're a Christian, might look down on you a little bit because you're a Christian, but there we should be so thankful, not because we fit in, so thankful that what God has done for us, that we're saved, that why would we not want to go out and spread that good news to other people, whether they deserve it or not? Because guess what? Those lepers weren't innocent either. You know what I mean? We've all fallen short. We've all broken God's law. And God reached out and said, you know what, Princess Portia? You are mine, child. You are mine. I've redeemed you. I've called you my name. You are my baby. Now I want you to work in my service. I want you to be so thankful that I want you to go out there and show the rest of the world what I've done for you. So these lepers are like, yeah, this ain't right. So they go and tell the king, the king's folks, and man, all this craziness happens, man. And all of a sudden, where the day before they were, you know, trying to figure out if they were going to buy the donkey's head or the bird doo-doo, they're like, just have all this awesome stuff now. And the famine's lifted, the enemy's gone. And so here's that situation. We have the cure. We have the cure for eternal damnation through Jesus Christ. You know what I mean? And we need to show that and share that with the rest of the world. We should be so thankful. We shouldn't care about, what do we care about when we talk to people about Jesus? We don't want to be rejected. We don't want to look stupid. I get it. You know? We don't want people to be offended. I get it. But man, what's really been helping me out is Rachel said she'll give me a dollar every time. No, what's really, honest to goodness, what's really been helping me out is if we realize we're talking about somebody's eternity. And that's what we're talking about. We're talking about where they're going to spend eternity, okay? And plus, all the wonderful benefits we get here, man. God is a present help in time of trouble. I mean, all the wonderful, endless things that God gives to his people, you know? So what if somebody makes a joke about you because you tell them about Jesus? You know what I mean? It's not about getting them to accept Jesus. God says that we are to be obedient to him, that we're going to spread the gospel. Okay, we'll do some planting, we'll do some watering. God's the one that's going to bring in the harvest. We just need to be obedient, okay? So we all have a reason to be thankful, amen? We are all blessed. Now, let me say this in closing. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, why don't you come down here right now and accept Jesus, because today is the day of salvation. If you have strayed, if you have fallen away, if you know that you are in rebellion to God, why don't you, right where you're at, why don't you ask Jesus Christ to forgive you? Why don't you repent of that sin, whatever it is? And let's be like what Jesus said to the woman that was caught in the act of adultery. You know what I mean? Go on your way and sin no more, man. Let this be a new day, okay? I'm no longer living for myself. I know I'm a child of God's, but I've been living for my own self. I've decided that I'm going to keep this sin over here just fine because God will understand it. Well, God says give it all to him, amen? So right now, wherever you're at, why don't you ask Jesus Christ to forgive you of those sins? Why don't you repent of those sins? And why don't your actions prove to yourself and to the Lord that you are truly repentant when you go and you say, I will no longer do this. I will no longer take part in this, even though I want to do this. I know it's not pleasing to God. I'm going to patch this up. I'm going to grant forgiveness. I'm going to talk to this person. I'm going to heal this relationship. Whatever it is, just give it to the Lord right now. And if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, come down here right now and accept him. It's the best decision you will ever make. Thank you, Lord. Hey guys, Wednesday night, we're still having church. Even though Thursday is Turkey Day, we'd love to have you come down here to Bible study Wednesday night. We're going to have something for every age group Wednesday night, but we don't have child care at this time for Wednesday night. We have little kids class, we have adult class, we got teen class. We invite you to get in one of those classes and be blessed. and be a blessing to us. Thank you, Jesus. If you're in need of a turkey, get with me after church. If you have a turkey to donate, get with me after church. Pray for your church. Pray for your nation. My buddy Billy, who comes to this church, he ain't been here a long time, but he showed up a couple Wednesdays ago. He wanted to be here today, but he said he's hurting really, really bad. So I want you guys to pray for Billy's back and his lungs. I want you to pray for my friend Jack. I want you to pray for my friend Sarah, my friend Joanne. I want you to pray for Faye's daddy. I want you to pray for Sister Rita King. Pray for your brothers and sisters in Christ. And remember this, we all have a reason to be thankful. God has been so good to us. Thank you, Jesus, that your will is going to be done in our lives, Lord. Thank you that we are a thankful bunch of folks, Lord. We love you and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Donnie's going to close us up in prayer, Daddy.
Dear gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. Father God, this time of the year, we just ask that we show the love of Christ towards all people, Father God, and neighbors, even for those that come against us, Father God. Give us guidance, Father God, and boldness. In Jesus' name, amen.